Thank you once again for tuning into the Psychedelic Podcast. I'm your host, Tina Marie. Our resident shaman, Dawn, has a very intriguing discussion with an anonymous astral projector. Stay tuned as we resume our normal schedule with panel episodes dropping every Sunday. Our next topic will be on the correlation of astral projection and the CIA. Be sure to subscribe and leave a rating or review from the astral plane.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started with astral projection.
It was kind of something I just got thrown into. Started experimenting. The fear subsided. Once it started happening, I just kind of ran with it.
What was your first experience where you noticed that something like this was going on and you could pinpoint what was happening exactly?
It started with lucid dreaming. I, from a very young age, have been able to be sentient while I'm dreaming, meaning I can control my dreams. I know who I am during the dream. I know what's going on. Most of my lucid dreaming, if I want to pick something up, I pick it up. I can examine things. I'm aware that I'm dreaming at the time that it started. A little bit into my mid-teenage years, I started experiencing sleep paralysis, which I feel is very much linked to astral projection in a lot of ways. I think it's the body, that link between your astral form and your physical body weakening, and it gives you an opportunity to actually leave your physical body. Lucid dreaming is step one. You can take it further. Sleep paralysis started occurring. I was terrified, didn't know what was going on, thought there was something wrong with me for a long time. Eventually, I started getting comfortable with the whole situation. I started trying things. I started having situations where I was leaving my body. These are all very vivid occurrences.
Tell me a little bit about the time where you were experiencing sleep paralysis and you thought there was something wrong with you. How long did that go on, and then what was the transition into doing this more confidently?
It's actually even more terrifying than a standard situation where you're not able to move. You wake up, or so you think you're awake. First time when I woke up, it was exactly my bedroom. Everything had kind of a gray hue to it. And I could barely open my eyes. I was looking around, gasping for breath. You cannot move a single muscle when this is occurring. You cannot move any part of your body. You can only breathe. That's it. Opening your eyes is a struggle. So I opened my eyes, and faceless creatures was standing over me. It's very common to see specters or dark creatures, things of that nature, when you're experiencing sleep paralysis. Now, I have my theories about what these things are, and they're standing over top of me, looking down at me. That's all it was really doing until it noticed that I caught a glimpse of it. I was in the process of astral projecting. There was something else in the room at the time. So I wasn't able to do it that time, but that was the first time where I'd ever been in a situation where I could have. And afterwards, I got scared. I went back to sleep. That's kind of what the sensation feels like whenever you're ending astral projection. It started happening pretty regularly at that point. So some people, they'll have episodes of sleep paralysis maybe 3 times in their life. I have sleep paralysis episodes probably 5 times a week whenever it was in full swing. Depending on how much meditation I'm doing and things, it'll increase or decrease accordingly. So not only was I experiencing lucid dreaming, which is step one, but a big part of that too is meditation. That's very important to developing your skills.
How long did that go on before you realized that you could go further?
It was a slow process. I was by myself in this situation. I wasn't aware there was a community present or anything. This is all stuff I was figuring out on my own. Wasn't doing any searches. And even if you did Google search it, not a lot comes up. It's a very, very undiscovered field, which is why I kind of take pride in what I've been able to do. It took years of sleep paralysis before I finally pushed myself to actually leave my body. That was compounded with the fact that I was seeing these specters as well, which kind of made me hesitant to leave because I don't really feel like they can interact with your physical form. There's no proof that they can't interact with your astral form. So if you actually experience real sleep paralysis in some people, you will see shadowy figures, specters from time to time. I think the first time that it happened, it was 16, the actual specter encounter. That happened at 17. It took me all the way until 19 years old to actually get up from the sleep paralysis and actually leave my body and walk around my room for the first time. So it took a long time.
Tell me a little bit about that experience of getting up and walking around, leaving your body specifically. What was that like?
So the first time that I did it, it was a choice. It wasn't just a random occurrence, because there's two or three times that were the most vivid, the most happened, and it was here and now and not in a different time or place. The first time that it happened, so you're in sleep paralysis state and you cannot move, but the way that I was able to leave my body was if you put in enough effort, and it actually is more physical effort than spiritual, because there's two different types of effort, right? If you put in a lot of physical effort, you'll find you'll barely be able to move your body. And you're like, okay, this is wearing off, but that's actually not what's happening. What's actually happening is your astral form is leaving your body. So if you really try hard while you're during sleep paralysis, you can get up out of your body. I stood up, and this is the first time that I actually did this, stood up from my body and felt like something was tugging me back towards the bed. It's almost like there's a tether there that is encouraging you to reunite at first. So it's kind of hard to move away from your body. But I stood up around my room. I looked around. Everything had kind of a grayish hue to it, but I walked around the room for a little bit. I looked at all my setups, my things on my desk. Everything was exactly where it belonged. I turned around, I could see myself sleeping, so I literally could see my own body. Every time I looked back at my body, you could feel the pool, like it was trying to drag me back. As I moved further away from the pool, it got less and less. Now, I wasn't courageous enough to go any further than my room at the time, because I was still scared of whatever these things were. These things have been a major impediment in my journey. And keep in mind, this is like a 12 to 15 year journey. So I've gotten past that since then. But returning, it was just as simple as laying back down in the bed. And then I open my eyes and boom, I'm awake. I'm back in reality.
That's really cool. I'm jealous. Like, I want to do that so bad.
It takes a lot of courage.
So once you are in this astral projected presence, or form, how is it different from physical reality?
What I've noticed is you're not really bound to the here and now, right? While you can astral project outside of your body in the here and now, which I've done multiple times, you can also astral project in different times and different places as well. So reality and the rules thereof really don't apply. I would go as far as to say that astral projection can go across multiverses. Basically, you might astral project in a place and time here and now on the planet Earth in this universe with these rules, and it feels very similar to not astral projecting. There's nothing really different besides the fact that you're separated from your body and you can explore the world as it sits. But you can also astral project in different times and places, and they have different rules. You know how when you dream and you're lucid dreams, sometimes you can fly. Sometimes you can pick up really heavy objects like a superhero. Sometimes the entire world around you is contorted. I believe these are simply just different times and places that you're experiencing, not necessarily a dream of your own creation, if that makes sense. Just a theory. You know, it really depends on where you're at the time of astral projecting of what you can do. It feels like you're bound by rules, but it's the rules of the place that you're in.
Two questions. First of all, how do you decide where you want to go? And second, would you consider yourself a sort of time traveler?
There's a good chance of that, but I mean, some of these places are so different that it is hard to make heads or tails of who, where, when, how, and why you are. But I will tell you that as far as selecting where you want to go, it's probably the hardest part. It's not something that I've been able to control reliably. Times that I've actually astral projected in the here and now, so to speak, is just been completely random, it feels like. One time, this is years down the road, mind you, probably 3 or 4 years, I've got my own place now, but I was spending the night over at my brother's house. I was staying in their guest room downstairs. I fall asleep, sleep paralysis occurs. Sometimes I don't feel like fooling with it, so I'll just wait for it to pass and then I'll wake up. Other times I'll go ahead and act on it. I experience it 4 to 5 times a week. So sometimes I just want to sleep, you know what I mean? But I went to sleep in the guest room. It occurred. I went ahead and I got up and I thought I was awake for the first probably minute and a half of this trip. I thought I was not astral projecting. So I wake up, room's dark, of course, lights are off. I walk out of the guest room into my brother's living room because they're joined. and I look around, everything's in its place. I start heading up the stairs because it's time to wake up, but everything had that strange gray hue. And it wasn't until I got to the middle of the stairs that I realized that everything had a gray hue to it, like it typically does when this is occurring in the here and now. I am not awake. I'm astral projecting right now. So I started to go back up the stairs, but the shock of realizing that I was convinced I was awake when it happened, and then I realized I wasn't. And that's the other thing that's hard about this, right? It takes a certain level of focus and really emotional controls to maintain your astral projection without what I call crashing or severing, which means basically that you'll just instantly end the experience. It's really weird how it happens too. It's like falling from the sky almost. You just wake up in your body. I just found the whole situation fascinating because everything was exactly where it was supposed to be, which is normal for astral projecting, but I didn't even realize I was doing it at that time. That was quite a surprise, but that was definitely one of the most vivid times that I did it.
That's really interesting. I'm trying to understand this a little bit. It seems like you go to sleep and then you're dreaming and then you wake up in the dream and then you interact with the dream in a completely lucid way. It's like one step beyond lucid dreaming.
I think there's a difference, but there's not. So dreams, we don't know what they are, right? So we think we have some ideas, but I don't think they're close to what they actually are. I personally believe your mind is going to a different place. It's not necessarily an internal event. Who's to say? I don't know. It is common to see people and things that you've experienced in your waking life, and your mind does have some control over those things in some ways. But I think a lot of the time for me, I'm experiencing completely different things. There have been times where I've been places I've never seen. I've been in cities and different things. I have certain reoccurring dreams that happen quite a bit that could be some sort of sign. But, you know, I haven't thought too much about that. Mainly I've tried to focus on trying to astral project in the here and now because I believe I can get the most information from that. I had one recently, about a year ago, where I did the same thing, only woke up in my childhood house. Saying everything was exactly where I was supposed to be. It was completely lucid. I'm dreaming, and this is where I grew up. I don't believe time necessarily has any control over the situation because everything is exactly how I remembered it when I was growing up. It's pretty surreal, to be sure.
So what do you think dreams are, and what do you think these reoccurring dreams are that you have?
These dark figures that I sometimes see during that interim where you're about to astral project, and also these reoccurring dreams, I feel like your subconscious, on some level, is trying to communicate to you, and these things could be internal struggles. For the longest time, I suspected they were like some sort of transdimensional beings or whatnot, but I ended up to the conclusion that I think they're more personal, and I think the reoccurring dreams are as well. For instance, I have a reoccurring dream in various places. The location doesn't really seem to matter, but the theme is the same. I'm caught in this world-ending storm. Think of the worst thunderstorm you've ever seen and multiply it by 100. I mean, it is just like insanely powerful. That one happens probably 5 times a year, and it's always lucid. I'm always present. As I've developed my skills of controlling these dreams, I can do things that make me confident that I won't be harmed. So fear is never really a thing. I think maybe the dream itself is more the subconscious trying to communicate to me. And that's the other thing. You don't know if you're actually the cause of what's going on around you. It's just that the part of your abilities that you don't necessarily know how to control, and they're acting out. And it's just your subconscious saying there's an issue in a certain part of your life, your energies are out of balance. There's all these possibilities that it could be that there's no one to tell you what they are, so I'm just trying to figure it out.
Can you tell me a little bit about some of the skills that you have when you're astral projecting that you don't have in waking life? You had mentioned to me before about making objects appear.
A lot of people, when they lucid dream, they can do basic stuff. Sometimes they can fly if they really try, but I find a lot of people can't do really anything when they lucid dream, from what I've seen. A lot of that comes from self-doubt. Whenever I'm lucid dreaming, there's not a whole lot I can't do. This is something I feel like is true. This humans on a spiritual level are super powerful, extremely powerful. During your lucid dreams and astral projection, there's not much you cannot do. So I've gotten to the point in my lucid dreams where flying is trivial, terraforming, meaning you can rearrange the planet in any way that you want is trivial. Teleportation is trivial. And this is the hardest ability by far, creating matter out of nothing, even though it's a dream. It just puts a lot of strain on the connection that you have to that dream whenever you do it. So you mentioned crashing or severing, as I call it. Say if I want something to appear before me, that is probably the hardest thing to do, but I can do it. It's a lot of steps to it. It takes a lot of focus, but it is something I've been able to do pretty much on command.
That's really trippy. You're like a time-traveling alchemist. So have you met anyone else with these abilities? I mean, I know you've talked a little bit about being in different groups and communities where this is discussed, but how personal can you really get with some of these people? Have you grown close to anyone else who can do these things to the level that you can?
You're just looking for answers for a lot of stuff, especially like the sleep paralysis, because you're like, there's got to be something wrong with me. Do I have like some sort of tumor that's causing this? What's going on? It was crazy at first, but these people are, again, just looking for answers. But to be pretty honest with you, there's no one that I've met that's even close to achieving the level of mastery that I have over it. Who is to say I'm even a master? I might still be an infant myself. You know, it's one of those things where I haven't found anyone that can teach me anything. It's usually the other way around. So I'll talk to these people and they're experiencing kind of the first steps of the sleep paralysis. Some of them have astral projected once or twice. They don't really have frequent situations or opportunities to do it. They haven't really ran with it past the starting line, so to speak.
I think I've probably had a few lucid dreams, but the only one that I can really remember, I was trying to get to a cabin on top of a mountain. I was flying, I was circling around it, but there was a wolf that was trying to get to the cabin too. And I was trying to figure out how to get to the cabin without meeting up with this wolf. And so I was trying to fly to avoid it. It was such a like freeing, fun experience. But I've never really gotten back to that place.
Yeah.
So I sent you the link to the CIA files. What did you think of them?
What they have confirmed is, and people know what these operations are, people who want to know anyway, and have done research, like Operation Haystack, and you know, they have various different titles for it. I mean, there's all kinds of evidence of the government testing these sort of things with MKUltra on different scenarios where they have been so alarmed by some of the things that occur on the spiritual plane that they put tons of money, even hurt people trying to figure out how to get this stuff to work. From what I can gather, and just based on the nature of what's required to get this stuff moving, they probably weren't very successful. I feel like it's a very personal thing. So if you're trying to force someone into it with drugs and various methods, it's not going to work, which is probably why they didn't see a lot of success with it. What I read in the files confirms that the research was actually going on. So there was some real interest there from the government, which means there's probably something worth taking serious. I mean, the kind of advantages a country could have from your standard astral projecting, where you're able to leave your body and you can't be detected. If they were able to harness this stuff, they could essentially send people in their astral forms and completely map out bases and things of that nature. And there's actually, in ancient Japan, they have on record the ninja actually used to train in trances and things like that, to where they can actually map out a location before they go there, so they would know where everything was. Me personally, based on what I've experienced, if someone had that level of mastery, it's definitely possible.
Yeah, somewhere in the files they were talking about giving a person coordinates, and the person was also given a map, and the map had nothing on it. Based off the coordinates, the person was able to travel there and then draw the outline of a set of islands that were there very specifically and accurately. And then the other one that I thought was interesting was where someone was sent to an undisclosed location that was top secret, and they were able to see into file cabinets and the names of certain files and things like that. And you're right, the people that were doing the research were completely freaked out about it, and people were asked to shut it down and stuff. So I think that's pretty interesting, but I also think it's kind of a boring thing to use it for.
Well, I guess for me, it's like no one really understands this stuff. So I'm going to hit you with a couple of theories that I have. And this is kind of bigger picture stuff. So number one, science and the spiritual are not mutually exclusive like a lot of people think. when they think about astral projecting and things like that, they're like borderline magic that we're talking about here, not necessarily anything in the scientific realm, but that's not true. So science is simply this process of explaining something in a way that completely makes sense. There's a method to this, and I agree, there is a method. There are steps you can take that can make it happen. There's a progression to it. It's not just a random occurrence. There are steps you can take to achieve it. That's number one. The government was basically getting at by trying to figure out how this stuff works. They were trying to figure out that method to harness this stuff. And number two, all human beings of all creeds, histories, and different places in the world seem to have some sort of spiritual need to fulfill. And personally, I think that they're all linked. I think it's more exercising your own spirituality in a particular way. For example, Christians believe in power of prayer. You're just sending positive energy to another human being, and that actually has an effect on them, right? So if you actually believe that your prayers are having an effect, you're actually healing that person of your own energies. Buddhism, they're big on trances, meditation, things of that nature. That's an important component of what we're talking about as well. All of these religions have bits and pieces of what we're talking about. We're woven into them, and they all have an effect. What I'm looking to do is take all of those bits and pieces, try to combine them all, get a whole picture. What can this stuff achieve? If it's all put together, that's really my goal. Don't get me wrong, there are people who have gifts, right? They're like deft at certain aspects of what we're talking about. Clairvoyance and sending energies, things of that nature, they all fit together under one set of rules, so to speak, as far as the spiritual is concerned. It's not something that's exactly mapped out. While you may have a gift or be adept at something, it doesn't mean that you can't do other things too with the proper practice or training. The main problem with it is there's such limited information. Like if you asked me, what's it feel like to create portals and send people energy? I couldn't tell you what that feels like because I've never done it. But that's not to say I can't do it. Maybe I just need a nudge in the proper direction or some sort of development, you know, astral projecting. I personally think that that might be something everyone can do if they follow the proper steps and they're able to map that out in their own lives and feel it out. It just takes a lot of effort and experiment.
If someone is wanting to get started in astral projection, what is your number one advice for them?
This is kind of a funny story, a little bit embarrassing, but I tell it anyway. So when I was a kid, I was actually fascinated with the idea of telekinesis, which is the ability to move things with your mind. I really thought that was the coolest thing ever when I was a kid. I always wanted to do it. And, you know, I wasn't expecting to be able to, like, lift cars or anything like that. It was more or less I just wanted to be able to float a pencil or something like that, right? So I used to visit these sites, and they kind of tell you, this is what you need to do to develop your psychic abilities. Not everyone's going to be able to do it, but you might be one of those people if you try hard enough. So I totally bought into that. I started doing meditation. There are certain types, right? This might be one of those things that worked for me, but wouldn't work for other people. You know, it's just a matter of focusing your energy. Ki, energy, spiritual pressure, whatever you want to call it. There's definitely something to it, I will tell you that. There's one exercise in particular that I find pretty effective, and it's called the telekinetic orb. You kind of focus your energy in between your two hands. You hold it up like you're holding a bowling ball. Eventually, if you do it right, you can literally feel something there. And it's warm, and it teaches you how to manipulate your spiritual energies. So I used to do that 30 minutes a day. I feel like that really opened the door to all the rest of the stuff that followed. You got to train yourself, and meditation is the best way to start. You'll see meditation in many different religions. It's very important to a lot of them. Prayer, meditation, there's a reason for that. Number two is the dreaming. Don't be scared. Go all the way with it. As far as the sleep paralysis, honestly, I don't know what triggers that. Sleep paralysis is not exactly something science can explain yet. They have no idea what causes it, barely have any theories on what causes it. Me personally, it's basically a phenomenon where the spiritual connection between your body and your astral form, which you call your soul or any other line of things that humans have recorded and tried to figure this stuff out, is weakening, and then it allows you to leave your body.
We'll be talking more about this as you go on your journey, because I love the updates that I get about it. It's super cool. Like, I have a lot of spiritual friends that have different abilities, like you were saying, but nobody has anything like this going on.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll take it.
Well, it's like science for me, because I'm like, what's going to happen next?
Right.
Thank you very much.